The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus departed from there and came to his native place, accompanied by his disciples. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astonished. They said, "Where did this man get all this? What kind of wisdom has been given him? What mighty deeds are wrought by his hands? Is he not the carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? Are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. And Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor, except in his native place, and among his own kin, and in his own house." So he was not able to perform any mighty deed there, apart from curing a few sick people by laying his hands on them. He was amazed at their lack of faith. The Gospel of the Lord. What I share today, I don't know that it could be termed a homily. I really just wanted to more speak with everybody. So a week ago Friday, a priest that I know, he's a priest of the Archdiocese of New York, New York City. After the declaration of the Supreme Court's decision, that afternoon he was walking down the street, and there was a same-sex couple, two men, holding hands, and they had a few friends with them. And upon seeing this priest walking by them, they took the time to turn and they spat upon him. And thankfully, the priest didn't retaliate. He didn't do anything. He didn't say anything. And the group just went on. And it was very good. He said, you know, maybe they were drinking too much. They were celebrating. Maybe it was just pent up anger for years of feeling rejection. But when I read that, it was interesting because this last week, never before, so I've been ordained a priest for 9 years, have I felt more uncomfortable going out publicly dressed as a priest. Never before have I been more aware of all of a sudden, just by the attire that I wear, I am a sign of contradiction. Right? Not by choice. And I know that our Lord says that for all of us. Right, that all of us are called to witness in this world to Jesus Christ, and so we will be signs of contradiction. You know, he says, "No servant is greater than the master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you." But it's tough to endure that. I have numerous people in my life that I have very good relationships with who have same-sex attraction. And it's really hard for me because the issue has become, at least by the media and others, it becomes something of either love or hate. They'll say, you know, if you love somebody, you should let them act on whatever desires they have in their heart. And if you don't allow them to do that, you don't love them. And they don't typically go as far as to say that you hate them, but if and when we do act on this in the future, if we don't support gay marriage in different ways, in church, in society, in business, they will be called hate crimes. It's already happening in other countries. And so I have these relationships with people who have same-sex attraction, and they're good relationships. And we interact well, we relate well together. One of my closest friends for years struggles with homosexual tendencies. I don't have the slightest shred of hatred in my heart for any of them or for anybody. In fact, I'd say the opposite. I love them. I love every single one of those individuals, and it's precisely because I love them that I could never support gay marriage. Because if you really love somebody, you would do anything and everything you can so that they do God's will in their life. You know, because you want them to go to heaven, you want them to be close to God. It's when we lack love that we're okay with assisting people to not accomplish God's will. Right? We cease to love them, or at least we don't love them as we're called to truly love them. And my brothers and sisters, there's no doubt all throughout sacred scripture, the revelation of God, no Christian could authentically read it and come to the conclusion that God desires anything other than marriage to be between a man and a woman. From the very beginning, He decreed that He made them man and woman to be husband and wife. And it's even interesting, you know, after Adam and Eve fall, their relationship with God is ruptured. They go and they hide. Their relationship with creation is changed, even within themselves. From that moment onward, we all, human nature, has concupiscence. But what didn't change? What did God preserve? The relationship of Adam and Eve. And then you fast forward a few hundred years, right, and Noah comes on the scene, and the world had become corrupt. And so God sends a flood to bring about a recreation. And it's striking, and it's easy to miss. Well, first, Noah, what is he supposed to do? To get every species of animal, every breed, a male and a female. But what is the first thing to get on the ark? It wasn't a single animal. Scripture says it was Noah and his wife. And then Noah's sons and their wives. Above all, God wanted to save the union of man and woman. And then you fast forward a couple thousand years, and our Lord comes. And John the Baptist is to prepare the way for our Savior. And my brothers and sisters, what does John the Baptist die for? For what reason was his blood shed? It was in defense of the sanctity of marriage. He had said to Philip, "It is not right for you to have your brother's wife." Right? God is the author of marriage, and that is not how He designed marriage to be. And my brothers and sisters, we live in a time where there will probably be martyrs for the sanctity of marriage. And I can tell you right now, I would allow my blood to be shed in defense of this, because marriage is always to be, by God's plan, the heart of every society and the cornerstone of all civilization. And there's going to be a huge attack on the family. And there's going to be major division. And we've got to be prepared for that. And then when our Lord Himself actually comes, right, when He publicly begins to preach the gospel, how does He first reveal Himself? Where does He work His first miracle, the first sign that He gives to the world that He is the Messiah? It's at a wedding feast. It's at the wedding feast of Cana. That's no coincidence that the blessings of God are to flow down in and through the union of husband and wife for all time. My brothers and sisters, God created marriage, and no society, no government, even if they try to redefine it, can change the nature of marriage. It is what it is. And what will happen in the times that we live in, and is already happening, and we've got to be aware of this, is there will try to be a separation. People will try to bring about a separation of truth and of love. And my brothers and sisters, those can never be separated in the life of a Christian. So they'll separate love from truth. And I think many Christians and many Catholics, we struggle with this, and we succumb to it at times. When you separate love from the truth, what happens with the truth? Even if you defend the truth, you defend it in such a way that it's condemning, that it's judgmental, that it's harsh, that it's not compassionate or understanding. And we've got to try to avoid that at all costs, because that doesn't win any hearts. But what happens when you have love and you separate the truth from love? Suddenly, love is falsified. The foundations of the love is removed, and you have people saying that love is to allow people to do their heart's desire, no matter what that might be. And St. Paul says, as Christians, we are called to live the truth in love, that those must always remain united. And our Lord Jesus Christ, love incarnate, when He's before Pontius Pilate, what does He say to Pontius Pilate is His mission? The mission of love on earth. He says it's to witness to the truth. My brothers and sisters, there probably will never be anything more challenging for any single one of us than to witness to the truth in love in this matter. Because every single one of us is going to be affected by this. And it's especially difficult when, gosh, it's one of my closest friends who has same-sex attraction. And how can I say that I love them and not, you know, support their marriage or their relationship? Or, gosh, Father, it's my sister, or it's my nephew. It's going to be really, really hard. But our Lord will give us the grace, as He always does. He never abandons us. But He does call us to witness to the truth in love always. And we cannot say that we truly love someone who has same-sex attraction and support a marriage or a relationship that is same-sex. We can love them, but it's not the way God calls us to love them.